Shalom, today, the 23rd of the month of Shavuot of the year 5777, corresponding to the 19th of February of the year 2017. And we continue now with our study of the book of Job, looking at what is one lengthy parasha, but is divided into two chapters in our printed Bibles, that is chapters 6 and 7, which are the ma'aneh, the answer of Iyov to the first ma'aneh, the opening speech of Eliphaz HaTemani. And as we shall see as we enter into our text already, the very great tension between Iyov and his companions who ostensibly came to comfort him is evident in the way that he is going in these chapters to address Eliphaz. And let us recall how Eliphaz had, in his words to Job, back at the beginning of his answer, he'd already said to Job, look here, you were always comforting others in their problems, but now, chapter 4, now that you're in it, what is this? And Eliphaz was very directly indicating to Job that if he is now suffering, then this is because there is some flaw in him. And there's even some hidden flaw that he's not aware of that he must search out and repent. This was the essence of the word of prophecy that came to Eliphaz at the end of chapter 4 when he had spoken about how the Spirit came to him in this very fearsome experience. And the essence of the message that came out of the prophecy was that can man justify himself before God? This is in verse 17 of chapter 4. Could man possibly be more righteous than God? It's impossible to say that all of the dealings that God has with men are without justice. And therefore, Eliphaz almost tauntingly had said to Job, look, what are you going to do? Just get angry and cry out and scream? That will not help you. Because man was born to toil, chapter 5, verse 7, man was born to toil, and that's the human condition. And then in his closing words to Job in the later part of chapter 5, he says that given the greatness of God and his providence, Job must understand that any suffering is sent by God for his benefit. This is very clear in chapter 5, verse 17. He says, happy is the man that God chastises. Do not reject the reproof of the eternal God. So it's almost ironic that here is Job writhing in pain, wallowing in his suffering, and Eliphaz says to him, happy is the man, Ashri Enosh Yochichenu Eloha, happy is the man that God will chastise. Well, I would not like to be in the situation of having to receive such words and to feel that they were far short of what I needed to hear. And we need to be extremely cautious if we're in the situation of coming to try to comfort and assuage the pain of people who are suffering with what we say. Eliphaz had entered on this extremely optimistic note that if Job will but repent, then God will save him from all of his sorrows and he will come to a good end. Now, Job, was he answers Eliphaz in the beginning of chapter 6. He's indicating to him just how far away is what he has said from anything that relates to Job's suffering, anything that could comfort him in his suffering. And he's going to somewhat mockingly speak about the tastelessness of Eliphaz's remarks. And he's going to cry out and say, look, do I have the strength of stones? Is my flesh made of bronze to withstand all of the suffering I'm going through? And in the end of chapter 6, he begins to compare these three companions to a deceptive flow of water that appears briefly in the winter, but then disappears, and just when you need it, it's absent. And he challenges them to tell him where does his flaw lie. And as we will come later on into chapter 7, he's saying the answer that Eliphaz has given him, that, well, if he will repent, all will be good. He says, what hope does he have? All he's hoping for is the relief of the grave. There's no chance, as far as he can see, that he could ever be restored to his former situation. And he ends on this this note of despair, saying the only thing that will help him if he lies in the dust and he disappears from existence. Well, now the Hebrew of this ma'aneh, like the whole of Job, is incredibly flighty and eloquent, and certainly bears comparison, for example, I would say, with highly favorably with anything that William Shakespeare was capable of, because here we have something that is one of the true treasures and wonders of world literature, that is our holy Tanakh. And we have in these words really an expression of a suffering soul. I do feel as we advance through the book of Job how more and more we can sympathize with him and accept the audacity of his challenges, that he's challenging the Almighty, and he's trying to argue, why are you doing this to me? And when his friends start telling him that, well, it's because you did something wrong, he says, you're on his side. I want you to be on my side, or at least independent, as we shall see. So let us now launch into this very wonderful chapter 6 of Eov. Vaya'an Eov vayomar. And Job answered, and he said, Lo shokol yishokel kasi, v'havosi b'moznayim yis'u yohad. Would that there could be weighed, truly weighed, my chaos, my anger, my rage, my turbulence, the havosi, the destruction that has occurred to me, if they could be weighed by Moznaim in the scales, Yis'u Yachad, they're weighed up equally. Verse 3. Ki ato mechol yamim yichbod, al kein devorai lo'u. For now, this rage, this devastation, more than the sand of the seas do they weigh. The sand is particularly heavy because the stones are suffused with the water, and if all the sand of all the seas, his suffering is more than that. And Alkein Devorai Lo'u, that is why my words, he says, Lo'u, have become stuttering. Lo'u, lo'u. He's stuttering and stammering. He's got to, we have to picture him there with his shchin, with his eruption of boils and infections all over his body. Verse 4. Ki chitzei shaddai imodi. Asher hamosom shoso ruhi beuse eloah ya'aruchuni ki chitzei shaddai. For the arrows of the eternal Shaddai, Imodi, with me are his arrows. Asher hamosom, that their heat, their poison, Shoiso ruchi, my spirit, that is what my spirit is drinking, this poison. Biusei Eloah, yalchuni, the confusion, the turmoil caused by Eloah, God, yalchuni, that is what is stretching me out. Putting me in the situation that I am in now. A very interesting comment on verse 4 by the Metzudat Dovid, who shares with the Ramban the concept that Job's essential sin was that he saw everything to be coming down to the world from an impersonal, implacable system of government through the stars and the planets without any differentiation between the righteous or the wicked. This is considered by Ramban and Nachmanides and by the Mesudat David as the kefirah, the heresy into which Job strayed. So an interesting comment by Mesudat David, who has this underlying concept about Job, is that here in this verse, when he's complaining about his suffering, he says it's the arrows of God. We hear, see in this verse, two of the names of God that appear throughout Job, as we've already discussed, the essential name, the Shem of Yudkei Vovkei, appears only in the opening narrative and at the end of the book. But the main names that Job and his companions used are, as here, Shaddai and Elohah. So Job here is saying that these are the arrows of God, and these are the shakings, the quakings caused to him by God. So the Metzudat says over here that despite the fact that Job thought that everything came on account of this impersonal system of government, for all that, he says his words directed to the opinion of Eliphaz that everything came from God through Hashkacha, through providence. I hardly dare venture to turn aside from the words of the Mesudat David, but I would suggest that perhaps it is not that Job thinks that the suffering is coming from an impersonal system. It is that he's totally baffled by the seeming injustice of God. He knows, he fully believes it's from God, but he's baffled by the injustice. And in verse 5, this very vivid image, he's saying, don't think that I'm screaming for nothing. Verse 5, Hayinhak Perre Ali Deshe Im Yig'ae Shor Al Belilo. The Perre, the wild donkey, will he be making his distinctive sound, so captured here in the Hebrew, Hayin Hak, Yin Hak, Ak, Hayin Hak Perre Ali Deshe? Will he be screaming out over the grass where he can graze? Of course not. If he had everything he wanted, his pasture, he would not be braying in this manner. Im yig'ae shor al belilo, will the ox bellow over his mixture of food, the food nicely mixed up with the moistening water, when the ox in his stall is eating his food? He has no reason to bellow and to moo the way that he would if he were hungry. So Job is saying here that both in the case of the Pere, the donkey, and the shor, if they have what they want, they don't cry out. And his metaphor is, if I had what I want, which is a relief from this suffering, I would not be screaming in this terrible way. And now in the image in the coming verse, verse 6, he now goes in a different direction, comparing the arguments of his companions as represented by the opening speech of Eliphaz, which is answering. Verse 6, Hayei ochil tofil mibli melach. Im yesh ta'am b'rir halomus. Could some food that is entirely without seasoning and flavor, can it be eaten without salt? Some very mild cucumber or mallow, would you have any pleasure from it if it were to be eaten without salt? The same way the words of Eliphaz are mellow, bland, they are platitudes, they are without the salt of wisdom. Im yesh ta'am b'rir halomuth, is there a taste in the saliva of the healthy? The word halomus is in the Hebrew expression today, bet hachlama, the house of convalescence, indicating a strength. The healthy person's saliva is not tainted with the smells of the odors of the four humors of the body in the rabbinical and Kabbalistic view of the body. The saliva of a healthy person is comes out without a bad smell. It's only the unhealthy that have a distinctive smell. Now, he's saying here, is there any... there you are talking your words in a state of health. What taste is there for me in my state of sickness in the speech you have just made? And then in verse 7, Job tries to indicate just how far his suffering has gone beyond anything which his companions can imagine. Verse 7, Me'ano linegoa nafshi, hemo kidevei lahami. Me'ano refused lingoa, to touch, nafshi, my soul, what it used to refuse to touch. If Job, in a state of health and grandeur, would have seen a person suffering with such boils all over, he would never have wanted to touch it. His soul would have refused to touch it. And now, himo kidevei lahami. These are like the illnesses of my body. Lahmi, according to one interpretation, his bread is his flesh, his body. And devei is a word indicating sickness. And so he's saying that that shchin, that pestilence of boils, the ones he would have refused to have touched, now this is precisely the illness of his own body that he's confronted with day and night. And another interpretation of kidevei lachmi given by Rashi is that it refers literally to the cloth upon which his bread is placed on the table before him, namely his daily food and drink, is these terrible boils that he had once refused to touch. That has now become his daily diet. So he wishes just that he could be taken out of this existence, this true cry of despair of a person whose suffering is unimaginable to us. Verse 8, Mi yitein etovo she'elosi, v'sikivosi yitein Eloha. Who will give that that shall come at my request, and that my hope God will give? V'yu'il Eloha, v'yidak'ini, yatir yodo, v'yivatz'ini. But has the power, verse 9, v'yo'il Eloha, let God will, let God him desire, v'yidak'eini, let him crush me like you'd crush a fly out of life in a moment, yatir yodo, let him powerfully increase the strength of his hand, yater as in the Hebrew, yoter, more, yater yodo, let him strengthen his hand, v'yivatza aini, let him pluck me out of the world, the betza is theft, is something that you grab, that you take, let him take me already, usehi od nehemosi, ואסלדו וחילו לא יחמול כי לא חיחדתי עם רי קודש. In one line here, one sentence, one verse, Job expresses his entire defense. He never denied the words of the Holy God. He never went against God. He is innocent. So if God will now crush him, simply stop this terrible suffering, verse 10, Usahi od nechomosi, there shall be more my comfort. Va'asaldo v'chilo, I will in trembling approach him in prayer, in entreaty. Lo yahamo, let him not have pity on me. Just finish already. Ki lo chichadati im rei kolosh, for I never denied the words of the Holy One. As I understand this, at least if his suffering will be stopped, that will be some recognition of his innocence. But otherwise, without immediate death, he has no comfort. What does he have to look forward to? As he says in response to Eliphaz's arguments in the end of the Ma'aneh, in the end of chapter 5, if you will repent, you will be protected from all of these dangers. You will come to a time of strength and prosperity. Job says to him, that's ridiculous. Verse 11, Ma kochi ki ayachil, uma kitzi ki aarich nafshi. What is my strength that I should hope? Do I even have strength to hope? I can't stand it as it is. What hope is there? Ma kitzi, what is my end? Ki aarich nafshi, that I should extend my soul in patience. What end can I look forward to? Am I crushed down in the situation, he's saying. Im koach avonim kochi, im besori nochush. Is it the strength of stones that is my strength? Is my flesh nachush, like nechoshet, like bronze? And now he turns to his friends who he had hoped that they would give him some comfort. You're telling him, he's saying to Eliphaz, you're telling me to wait till I am the future, some unknown point in the future. That is no comfort to him. And he's now rejecting his friends and becomes at this point in the very high language of Eov, he is beginning the rejection, which leads to outright conflict and mutual, what we would call today, mini aggressions, as we shall see. In verse 13, then, Ha'im ein ezrosi vi v'sushio nidho mimeni. Ha'im, the word that introduces a question in the Hebrew. En ezrosi, is not my help in me? Do I not have helpers here? Am I supposed to rely upon myself because my friends have failed me and I don't have the help in me anyway because I have no strength? V'sushio, the wise counsel, a word we encountered in Proverbs when the Torah is praising her counsel, sushio nidcho mimeni, the salvation of counsel is rejected from me. That is to say that he is indicating that the words of Eliphaz are rejected. He cannot accept his simplistic picture that the wicked suffer, and therefore if Job is suffering, there must be some wickedness. It's not sufficient for him. And he does not, he goes further. Now he is going to literally begin to accuse his friends of very serious abandonment of the principles of friendship. Lamos mireihu chosed. The root here of lamos is in the word for melting. Nimas, ice in Hebrew is melts, the masses. Here this is an infinitive, this lamed, that is connecting the present verse with the previous verse, telling us why he is making this complaint, that he has no help, he has no counsel, because of the one that is mas. He is melting away from his friend, chesed, kindness. There is a betrayal here of the friendship, and the companion is depriving his re'ah, his friend and companion, of chesed. And Job makes the very strong accusation, v'yir'as Shaddai ya'azov, the fear of Shaddai, the fear of the eternal God, is Eliphaz in his approach abandoning. In other words, Job is saying it's Eliphaz whose view is not the is not indicative of proper faith. So it's a very serious accusation of by Job of Eliphaz to say that he has abandoned the true fear of God. That is to say that he's accusing Eliphaz of betraying a primary principle, which is that of friendship and companionship. And Eliphaz has not given him any comfort, and is it not enough that Eliphaz has not assuaged his pain, but that he has started attacking him and reproving him and saying, Job, you must be a sinner, and for that reason, that is the flaw in Yirat Shakai, the fear of God that Job is accusing Eliphaz of having committed, that he's just not empathic, he's not sympathetic in the way that a true friend should be. As he continues now in the following verse, my brothers have dealt with me treacherously. Verse 15, Ahai bogdu chmo nohal ka'afik naholim ya'avoru. My brothers have committed treachery, that betrayed me, just like a nachal. A nachal is a valley in which a stream may or not be flowing at different times of the year. Ka'afik naholim ya'avoru. My friends, he says, like a flow of water, the flow of the streams, they passed by. In other words, they've not stopped when I need them to be able to drink. They appeared, but then they disappeared. And he goes into this extensive metaphor about the byways of a stream. You can imagine in a wadi in the hot Middle East, where water might appear at some time, but then disappears. And this metaphor is what he follows through now in verses 16 and 17. The waters, hakodrim mini korach, olimu yis'alim sholeg. Hakodrim, they are darkened from the ice, and upon them the sholeg, the snow, becomes concealed. Be'ais yizorvu nitzmosu, b'chomo nid'achu memkomam. At the time when they start heating up, they shrivel away. And in the boiling heat, they have jumped away from their place. Yilofesu orchos darkom, Ya'alu ba'tohu v'yoveidu. They wind around the paths, that is, the paths of their ways, and they go up into tohu, into devastation, to nothingness. Yovedu, they disappear. Hibitu al hostemo, halichos shavor kivu lamo. They looked towards the paths of Tema. They hoped for the paths of Shavor. And now, whoever trusted in them, trusted in vain. Boshu chivotoch, bo odeo vayichparu. They were ashamed. The one that put his trust in them, each one, they became ashamed. They came to her, they came to this wadi, to this gushing stream, and they were ashamed, it's not there. And now, after this extensive metaphor of the treachery of his companions, he explains why, in verse 21, why. Ki ato heyisem loy, tir'u chasach vatiro. For now you are for him. You are on his side. Why? You saw the terrifying devastation and you got afraid. You see what God has done to me and you are afraid now to open your mouths. You are justifying the Almighty, but not in a fair way because you don't understand my point of view, Job is saying. He says to his friends, what do I owe you? What am I asking you for? Verse 22. Achi omalti hovuli, umikur hachem shihadu va'adi. Have I said, bring me something, anything, wealth, whatever, anything have I asked of you? Umikur hachem shihadu va'adi. Is it from your strength that I'm saying to you, give a bribe to some power on my account? Umaltuni miyad tzor, umiyad oritzim tifeduni, to save me from the hand of the enemy, to redeem me from the hand of the mighty. I'm not asking you for anything, he says to his to any material wealth or ransom or any other kind of expenses. I want to know what I have done. He says in verse 24, Horuni vanyaharish umashogisi hovinuli. Teach me, he says, Horuni, teach me. Vanyaharish, then I'll be silent if I know, if I hear from you. Umashogisi, whatever I went astray in error, hovinuli, give understanding to me. And now he mockingly addresses them. Verse 25. Ma nimritzu imre yosher. Uma yochiach hocheach mikem. Ma nimritzu, how very eloquent, how very powerful and strong are the words of justice. But what is any one of you actually proving? Ma yochiach hocheach mikem. What reproof is reproving any one of you to the real point? Hala hocheach milim tachshovu uleruach imrei noosh. Dismissing the words of his companions. Hala hoychach milim tachshovu. To reprove, do you think that it's just a matter of words to give reproof? Your words are empty. It's not just a matter of words. They need content. Ulruach imrei noyosh. To the winds go the words of nothingness, the words of emptiness. 25, Af al yosom tapilu, v'sicharu al re'achem. Indeed, over an orphan, you would cast him down. Very, very serious accusation. You have absolutely no sympathy, he is saying to his friends here. You would even cast down the lots to share out the possessions of some orphan. In the way that here, what you are doing with total lack of empathy and sympathy, v'sichru al re'achem, you are digging down a pit for your friend. Now verse 28, Ve'ato ho'ilu penu. B. Now he is introducing what will be the content of the coming chapter. He says, now please, I want you to look at me. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to be saying to understand if I would ever be lying and exaggerating my suffering. So these are his words, verse 28, Ve'ato ho'ilu fenu bi, look into me, Ve'al p'neichem im achaziv, before your very faces, will I tell a lie? I shall not. I will not lie to your faces. Shuvu no, al tehi avlo. Veshuvu od tzidki vo. He says to them, come back, please. Which indicates that they were backing away from him, that they were upset and offended, and indeed we do increasingly see the rage of the companions coming forth, being needled on by Job's very words of despair. He says, please come back, let there not be any avla, let not that be in this whole discussion, let's not get to any form of corruption and denial of the truth. Avla is a real violation of justice. He says that we must not have any such avla. He says, come back and remain to examine carefully. And when you do this, you will see that the justice and righteousness are with me. He's challenging now in verse 30. Hayesh bilashoni avlo, imechiki lo yovin havos. Let's go again from verse 29, the Hebrew. Shuvu no al tehi avlo. Return, please, let there not be any injustice. Veshuvu od tzidki vo. And return again all the while that my righteousness is, the Hebrew word bo is in her, and it's not clear from the text where the righteousness is. It would appear to be that my righteousness is in its proper place. And he now challenges in verse 30 his friends, he challenges, Hayesh b'lashoni avlo. Is there on my tongue any injustice? In chiki lo yovin havos. Is not in my palate, the place from which my speech comes forth, will my palate, my mouth, not understand the meaning of this real destruction that is going on? So these now are the words that lead into this very eloquent continuation of Job's Me'aneh to Eliphaz, which we'll study in our next session.